Thank you so much, Sandeep. Thank you, team. Good morning. It's really good to see you. It's Pentecost Sunday. Without Pentecost, without the sending of the Spirit, there would be no church. And so we come with expectation that the one who set the hearts of God's people on fire is the same one who will set our hearts on fire afresh for him, because the Spirit is always at work. We're carrying on our series in the kingdom, and we're into week 7 for those of you who are counting. And some of you may be thinking, why are we spending all this time and all these weeks on the kingdom of God? 7 weeks now. And if you're getting fed up, I've got to warn you, there's more weeks to come. I'll do another, at least another 2 on this. And the reason for that is because the kingdom is the absolute heart of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He demonstrated it, he taught it, he shared it over and over and over again. People who do the sort of counting of Greek words and so on will say he certainly mentions kingdom over 120 times in his teaching. And then Paul, in the letters, when Paul is going to the early church, it's very clear that while he doesn't use the word kingdom as much, the themes of the kingdom are absolutely central to Paul as he tries to explain what it is Jesus was expecting the church and individual Christian people to be. If we want to know how to live as Christian people, we have to understand the ways of the kingdom. And so that's why we're on kingdom, and we're going to do a few readings from the start of Acts, Acts chapter 1 to begin, and then some verses in Acts chapter 2 as we think today about the kingdom and the Spirit. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Then chapter 2 from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does all this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. No matter how much we understand or don't understand about the kingdom, as we read through the Gospels and Jesus unpacks, if you like, what it means for him to be in control, for his presence to be guiding and releasing and changing, for a new culture to be coming on earth that is radically different to the culture that is already there, if you like, a Garden of Eden type culture, where there is shalom and peace and joy and relationship, and no suffering, and no mourning, and no hurting, and no pain. And there is, by nature, there is justice and mercy and love. A kingdom that is so different to the world in which we find ourselves now. No matter how you read this, I would suggest you would look at it and think, I think that's impossible. Next slide, Laura, please. I think I don't have the power or capacity to do it. In COVID, I started watching Shed and Buried. Does anybody else watch Shed and Buried, or am I just kind of weird? One or two of us in a weird group, maybe we should set up a WhatsApp group for Shed and Buried. If you don't know Shed and Buried, it's two or three nerdy car kind of guys who go around people's old sheds and farm sheds and all sorts of things, and they go and they look for cars, and they take cars away that are wrecks. And then they restore them, and then they sell them, and they show you how they've restored them, and they tell you how much money they've made as they've transformed this. And quite often they'll go and they'll see a car, and the car looks really, really smart. You know, it's kind of a classic car, a Ferrari or a Lotus, and they'll kind of look at it, and you'll wonder, why is this car still in the shed? And then it looks great, and then they lift the bonnet up. There's no engine in it. Somebody's started to renovate it. You know, one of these projects that people do from time to time, they kind of think, I'll just renovate an old car. And they take the engine out of it, and then after a month they think, nah, I don't think so. And it's just left, so the shell of the car's there, and the engine's way over there. Well, I think for me, for you, for people, for the disciples, when we looked at the kingdom, what it is, what it means, and look at ourselves, we think, we cannot possibly do this. I don't have the capacity to love the way the kingdom is calling me to love. I can't every day love my enemies. I can't do it. I don't have the patience with people to walk miles with them and just be there. I don't know if I'm so literally materialistic, in fact, I know I'm not, that if somebody wanted my shirt, I would naturally take my jacket off or my coat and give it to them. I can't do it. I can't do it. I know myself. I know that I'm a creative. I know that I'm high energy and sometimes hard to live with. You can speak to Carrie afterwards for any stories about that. I know I've got next to no patience. If I see more than five or six people in a queue, I don't need it that much. And so I put it back and walk. My wife constantly has been waiting on stuff to come back to make stuff. And I've said, yeah, well, we didn't get it. So we have all sorts of things without the ingredients. Because I don't have the patience for it. I know that I am prone to huge enthusiasm and drive and energy and in and of myself, frustration so quickly. And sometimes despair when I look around at stuff. And I confess when I look around at people and think, why do you not get this? How thick are you? How many times do I have to say this? I've preached this for 20 years and you've still not got it. What is wrong with you? I can't do it. When I look at the Sermon on the Mount, when I look at the parables of the kingdom, when I look at Jesus who's calling you and me to be active spiritual revolutionaries, I know I can't do it. I don't have the power. And Jesus knew that the disciples did not have the power. And it may be that you're here today and when you look at the call of God on your life, you think, can't do it. I can't do it. I'm kidding everybody, including myself, if I think I can. Well, here's the good news. Next slide, please. The good news is Pentecost, which says you don't do it on your own power, you do it in the power of the Spirit. The power has come from above. The power is the power of God at work in and through you, not you at work. The power of God, the character of God, the third person of the Trinity of God has been released. And the church is born. We're allowed to celebrate that. I know we kind of don't always, but you can at least, you don't need to say hallelujah, but you can at least smile about it. The days of trying to be a Christian in your own strength over. The days of the church trying to survive and go forward in its own ingenuity and pulling all our resources of credibility together over, we discover that church and faith and life are supernatural. That the Spirit has come and the striving has ceased. So let me say just a little bit before we move on about Pentecost itself. Pentecost 50 is what it really means. So it's the 50th day since the resurrection. There was a Jewish festival, which was 50 days after the Passover. So it's very similar, kind of parallel to that. In fact, if you read the story of that in Exodus 32, of that first festival, really, or where scholars will say that's where it began. You'll find it's when Moses got the law. You'll remember that story. He kind of goes up into the mountain. He spends time with God. And the people who get really messed up when Moses is not there and think, well, we need to worship something and we don't know where Moses has gone. Why don't we get all our earrings and bracelets that are gold, stick them in a cauldron and make something to worship? And so that's what they do. They make some calves, and Moses is up with God, and God's been saying the whole time, you know, look at my people, I've led my people. And then, I love this, God then says, Moses, look at your people. Your people are worshiping idols. Your people are living in disobedience. So Moses has to go back down the mountain. You think, back down the mountain, what a bunch of wasters. Go back down to sort this out. And he goes down the mountain, if you know the story, and he says, who's in it for God? Who is here for God? And the tribe of the Levites come and gather round about him. And they say, you know, we're all in. And suddenly judgment falls upon the people. And with the law in their midst, 3,000 people die. 3,000 people die. On Pentecost Sunday, the Spirit comes. And the Spirit does what the law can't do. The Spirit brings life. The law shows us that we are sinful and we need repentance, we need salvation. The Spirit comes and brings life, and 3,000 people live. 3,000 people live. So on this day, people gathering, suddenly something happens unique from heaven as heaven touches earth and touches the hearts of God's people. Next slide, please. Three things, really, just to highlight really, really quickly. And, you know, when speakers look at their watch, I know you know this already, it is the most meaningless thing that a speaker ever does. It's trying to falsely reassure the congregation that we're going to be on time. But we will. A sound of mighty wind, like mighty wind. It's not mighty wind, but it's this kind of roaring sound that they don't know where it's come from. They don't know where it's going, but suddenly in the midst, as they're gathered in this house, this roaring wind comes. As if everything has changed and moved. I kind of picture it that God is blowing the dust out of the hearts and minds of his people by simply going, and all the rubbish and rust that had been burnt up as they waited on this time is blown away. They've had to wait 10 days. Did you work that out? Jesus was with them for 40 days. Then he told them to wait. I wonder what they did for the 10 days that they were just waiting. They waited, and on the 50th day, this is what happened. Heaven broke out. Tongues of fire started to fall. And fall somehow in the midst, but then separated on the heads of people. So you're looking and visually, you've just heard the wind. And now you're picturing, you're seeing something. And fire so significant with the cleansing of God. And the burning bush. And fire over and over again as an illustration of God's purity and holiness is literally all over them. And then the disciples start to speak. And Galileans have a bit of an accent, not like Fifers. Fifers very clear. Best quality English Fifers have. But Galileans, not so clear, apparently. And they start speaking, and everybody hears them in their own language. So not the kind of speaking in tongues you hear about in the rest of the New Testament, which is a kind of love prayer language, but actually a language where they're speaking something of truth that is being translated, if you will, so that everybody hears it as if it's their own language coming directly to them. And that's why they say, are they really Galileans? Because we can't normally understand Galileans when they're speaking their own language. How can we hear them now? And one or two folks looked at them and said, well, actually, they're kind of legless. Yeah, they've been on the wine early, and now they've lost it. Not understanding what's happening. Signs of the supernatural presence of God. Things don't stay the same when God shows up. And when we move ourselves from relying upon myself to relying upon the Spirit, I don't stay the same either. I change. And I begin to walk the kingdom walk, which is a walk of love and mercy and radical counter-culturedness. Next slide, please. And so you get this group of people from the very, very early start, the disciples, powerless, confused, abandoned, running, hiding, keeping their heads down, to this group at the end of chapter 2 of Acts that I want to read. Same people, after the Spirit has come upon them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you get it? Do you get it? This is an example of what is in God's heart for the people of God to live in the power of God, to be the kingdom people, to see the kingdom advance. This is what it looks like. Before there is any book of common order, before there's orders of service, before there's buildings, before there's choirs, before there's churches, what is on God's heart for people? They receive the Spirit and suddenly they begin living radically differently for God. I know these verses probably as well as I know anything in the New Testament. I've studied them word by word to write and then create a Bible study course around it. And the most significant thing about it, I think, is this. The transition that has happened from before they had the Spirit to after the Spirit came. When they were all individuals and all in tribes and all in groups, to now this group of people brought together in a commonality of love in Christ and in one another and in their wider surroundings. This powerless, denying group who suddenly begin to live in ways that have never been seen before. This kind of dynamic culture. This is God's heart for you and I. This is what church looks like. What kind of church? A biblical kind of church, a New Testament kind of church. A church not governed by rules, but a church directed by the Spirit and living in love and forgiveness and mercy and healing and longing for Christ to be in the center and for Christ to come, but living sacrificially every day. This is what the Spirit does when he takes a bunch of people. Do you get this? There is a power and a joy in the kingdom community of people that goes way, way beyond what we normally experience in church and in life. And for me and for you to be part of that community, to live radically differently, not a wee bit differently, but radically differently, to give up control of who I am, what I want, even what my ambition for God is, to hand it all over to God and say, I'm simply a servant here, God. It's all about you. And so we get this bunch of ordinary folks who have come to Jerusalem to hang out for a festival, who suddenly find they're still in Jerusalem months later. They're moving from house to house. They're seeing miracles happen. And the ones who had stuff sold it so the ones who were still in Jerusalem and poor could actually survive. They became non-materialistic overnight. And they wanted to worship, and they wanted to share what we would call communion together, and they wanted to pray together, and they wanted to hear the stories of God, and they wanted to be encouraged, and they wanted to be lifted, and they wanted a fresh imagination, and they wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. And so when the Spirit came, it wasn't just a kind of smart show to excite those who were in Jerusalem. It is the very birth of the church, and it is the power that enables us to live differently. Brothers and sisters, why are you still living in your own strength? Why are you still trying to be kingdom people without the power of the Spirit directing you? Why are you trying to tick religious boxes in the hope that God will be pleased with you, when God has already said that he loves you, he is for you, he has saved you, and he has sent his Spirit upon you? Why are you trying to live a supernatural faith in the natural? Because that is not God's heart for you. God has so much more, so much more. And so the Spirit begins to work in this people, and the Spirit sends the people out, and they move out from Jerusalem. Next slide, please, Laura. And he starts to do things in the individual lives of the people. Bit by bit, the Spirit is a counselor and a transformer and a sanctifier. He kind of changes us, and he begins to give us fruits of the Spirit. Some of us demonstrate some of these fruits better than others. Some of us need a bit more work on some of them. But actually, if you look at them all, you see that the Spirit is beginning to make us more like Jesus, who is love incarnate, joy incarnate, peace incarnate, patience incarnate, kindness incarnate, and so on. And so the Spirit has come into us from Pentecost to make us more like Jesus, and is cleaning us up, moving us, changing our thinking, changing our hearts, making us different. If we've been a Christian 10 years and we're still the same as we were 10 years ago, wow, we've missed something here. Because bit by bit, the Spirit is transforming us. I just smile when I look at, this is my kind of mindset. You know, I look at them and I go, 6 out of 10, 8 out of 10, skip that one, 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10, whatever it is. Ultimately, when we see him face to face, it'll be 10 out of 10. Because he's moving. You're not perfect yet. You might think you are, but you're not. But God is at work by his Spirit in you, granting you these fruits to change the way you were to how you are. You might not have liked me. You might not like me now, but you might not have liked me when I first became a Christian. You know, my dad had died at 15. I'd left school as soon as I can. I got an apprenticeship in Rosyth Dockyard. I lived in one of the hardest kind of housing estates there was in Fife at the time. I was in fights a lot of the time. I had to survive kind of as I could. And just one example of it. If I managed to go for 5 minutes without swearing, that people would have been wondering what was wrong with me. And then the Spirit comes, and you're overwhelmed by the love of God and the forgiveness of God, and that God is for you and loves you as you are, but doesn't want you to stay as you are, and fills you with the Spirit. And bit by bit, you begin to demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and all the things you weren't, you are becoming, because the Spirit is at work. And the church as a body, when we're all together, this is what we demonstrate. This is it. We are a body who demonstrate love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and so on. That's who we are. We love the stranger. We love those we know. We love the broken. We love the marginalized. We love the equivalent of the lepers. We love and we have patience and we walk with people because God walks with us. You're only where you are because the Spirit has walked with you in Christ. But not just the fruits of the Spirit. Next slide, please. Not only do you get fruits, you get gifts. That's pretty much the list in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. I'm not going to go through them all. You'll be really pleased to know. But a really interesting mix of a spiritual gift of administration. I love that. It's not one I have myself. If you've tried to make an appointment or meet me for a coffee or stuff like that. The EA, when I first, after 3 weeks in the EA, they gave me a PA. How cool is that? Eh? I've had a PA for 20 years. And that was basically because after 2 weeks, they said, you know what? You're going to cause absolute chaos if we don't have somebody organizing your diary for you. Apostleship, craftsmanship. You ever thought craftsmanship is a spiritual gifting? The gift of your hands, the making of things, the joiners, the artists, the painters, craftsmen people, spiritual gifts. Right alongside, without any difference in, like Paul saying, one's better than the other, they're all just in the lists, alongside evangelism and faith and healing. So the person with a spiritual gift of craftsmanship is seen in exactly the same light as a person who is a gifted healer in God's eyes. We're taking our natural gifts and God is breathing life upon them and taking them to a new level in his kingdom for his service. And so they take on another dimension. So you might always have been a great craftsman, but now you're a craftsman supernaturally filled with the Spirit, and God regards what you're doing with your hands as a spiritual gift adding to who you are in his service. How releasing is that, right? The gifts are not about teaching and preaching and two or three people up the front. They're about everybody. Everybody. All getting what God has given us and all using them for his work and kingdom. It's exciting, exciting stuff. So this church and this bunch of people, we've kind of got all these fruits that we're moving into, and we've got all these gifts that we're exercising. And so we are a body of revolutionary grace and revolutionary power together. That's a powerful mix. The grace of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit stuck together in a cocktail of love and mercy for the kingdom. My goodness. Nothing can stop that. Nothing. And so this kingdom rule of God begins to be demonstrated primarily in and through a people, his people, as they open their hearts to him, as they're led by the Spirit, as they look and feel and move like Jesus, as they forgive and love, and as they have a spiritual power and integrity and dynamic that is able to change dark places into light. Is that a good description of who you are? It's what you're being changed into. It's what you're being changed into. Last slide, please. One people, fueled by the Spirit, living in obedience to the King, saying, it's not about me anymore. It's not my agenda. It's not my gifts. It's not my anything. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. We lift you up and you do what you want to do in the hearts and lives of your people. A kingdom people transforming the world, revolutionary agents of change. That's why, see, kingdom is just not about where we're gathered, it's about where we're scattered, because you're a revolutionary agent of change in a staff room, in a workplace, where you are, when you're teaching children, when you're making something with your hands, when you're watching kids, when you're bringing up family, when you're being grandparents and passing on a legacy to our next generation, over and over and over again, hundreds and thousands and millions of people all living in the power of the Spirit as a kingdom people, transforming the world and making it back to a garden of beauty and mercy and love beyond imagination. That's your calling. That's my calling. The only way we can do it is when we're open to the Spirit. And I love them. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist, hymn writer, a century or so ago. And Moody said this. He said, "I need to keep going back to be filled with the Spirit because I leak. Because I leak." And so I'm going to ask the band, will you come back up, please? Maybe you leak. Maybe you think, I've named this, I've said this for a long time, but actually, I just do faith in my own strength. And I don't have many days where it's actually a win. And you've come to the place where you think, I need a fresh outpouring, fresh touch of your Spirit, God. And I believe Perth needs Trinity to have a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. I need the world beyond. I think the world beyond needs to see and experience a people who are filled with God and who love and live radically differently. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Well, if you're able, will you stand with me? And you don't have to do this because you can be like me who always feels, why should I, when somebody up the front asks them to do anything. But maybe you would want to put your hands out openly before. Yeah. And I'm going to pray for the Spirit to fill us up afresh, and then we go straight in to worshiping God in praise. We need fresh filling because we leak, God. We leak. We would love to just live in the kingdom all the time, and yet the culture round about, the culture of the world, the culture of the enemy is everywhere. And we're attacked so often, and we get frustrated, and we take on the things of the world. We don't want to, Lord, but we do. And we look at the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, and we think, God, I've failed on that one, I've failed on that one, I've tried on that one, and I'm really struggling, God, because I leak. I leak. And so here we are, knowing you love us, knowing you're for us, and knowing that you've called us to be a kingdom revolutionary people who live in love in the power of the Spirit to accomplish all that you've called us to accomplish. So we ask, God, send your Spirit, we pray. Send your Spirit and touch our hearts, God. We are so sorry when we have become apathetic, when we've gone in our own ways, when we've jumped from the narrow path back onto the wide one. We are so sorry when we've gossiped, when we've become cynical, when we've become all the things that are opposed to the fruits of the Spirit. Fill us afresh, O God. Come into our hearts like a rushing fire, like a rushing wind, and fall on us, we pray. We lift our hearts to you.